Good morning, church family. Wow, here we are. What is this, 5 weeks now or more? And we're past the 40 days and 40 nights. So who knows how many more? But I'll tell you one thing for sure is that in spite of our isolation and in spite of the experience that we as individuals and as a church are going through, there's one thing that we can be sure of. And Jesus promised us over and over again. And the last words that he said to his disciples, he said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are my own. You are my children. You are the sheep of my pasture." And there's so much in God's word that brings comfort in times of uncertainty and in times where we, from day to day, don't know exactly, what's going to happen. I thank the worship team for leading us in our worship this morning. And we thank Matthew for offering the prayer. I wanted to just begin by reading the passage, well, the first part of the passage that I want to share from this morning. It's found in Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 11. It's a story that many of you are very familiar with, but let me just begin by reading. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the boundary between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray that as we look into your word, that your spirit will be present, that you will open our hearts and our minds so that we might receive a blessing from you on this beautiful Sabbath day. We pray in your name. Amen. As most of you know, I was raised in two different countries, first in Korea and then in Borneo. And I have an experience that I went through as a young boy, probably about 7 or 8 years old. In Korea during that time, it was shortly after the Korean War. There was a lot of really visually very sad things that I saw in my early years of my life because of the war had brought so much pain and so much suffering. And people obviously had been in that war and had their arms and the legs blown off. And that was a very common thing to see that kind of suffering, people begging on the streets. And I remember one day, it was the first snow of the winter had fallen, and there was probably about 2 or 3 inches on the ground. And I went down to the local marketplace with my ama. She was sort of like, well, she was my babysitter, I called her grandma, but she was a lady who lived in our home and helped my mother with the various chores around the house. And so I went down to the marketplace that morning with her. I remember to buy some food and some groceries. And as we got close to the marketplace, I noticed there was quite a crowd of people in one corner of the market. And so as we were walking through and looking at things to buy, I snuck over to this group of people and I began to push my way through the group to see what they were looking at. And as I broke through and I looked, suddenly with a gasp, I stepped back and I was horrified with what I saw there. There was a man with his nose missing, his ears missing, his fingers were just stubs, and he was begging. He was begging for food and for money. He was a man who had been stricken by leprosy. That image has been branded in my mind's eye, and I've never forgotten that. In fact, this week, as I was reading this passage of scripture here in the book of Luke, I was vividly reminded as my mind brought back up those images that I saw so many years ago, that intense suffering, the utter horrifying experience of seeing somebody in such an intense suffering condition with a disease that actually it shows almost immediately, and it works from the outside into the inside of the person until eventually they die from the disease. Jesus, as we read here in the passage of in Luke, was on his way up to Jerusalem. In fact, some commentators say that this was Jesus, one of Jesus' last trips up to Jerusalem. He was coming through the time or the area rather of Samaria and Galilee. And of course, you know, Samaria was sort of a no-go zone. It was a quarantine zone in a way from all Jews, because it was the Samaritans who the Jews hated so much. In fact, they considered them to be like dogs. They hated them. And it's interesting because the Samaritans were actually part, they were Jewish. They, you might, we would call maybe half-breeds. And the history goes way back to the time of the Babylonian captivity. Of course, you know, when the Babylonian armies came and they took people from Jerusalem, they took, of course, the elite, the educated, the people of the higher class of society, and they took them away as slaves into Babylon. And they left the common people, the poorer people there in that land. And those people eventually married with other tribes, other people in the area, the Canaanites and some of the other people. And so then they were considered half-breeds. And so when Jerusalem was once again reestablished, those who considered themselves pure Jews despised the Samaritans, because the Samaritans were people that were not pure-blooded Jews. So there was a wall, a barrier between them, a wall of hatred and despise. And yet here Jesus is walking through this area. He's on his way up into Jerusalem. And so we are left with this vivid picture of Jesus and his disciples and these 10 men who came down out of the hillside, and they cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now, there were many things going through Jesus' mind. We know that he was very obvious and very clear to him that he was making one of his last journeys to Jerusalem, that it would be there in Jerusalem that he would go through a trial, he would be beaten, he would be crucified, and then eventually be buried. And so there was much on his mind. His heart was heavy, and he saw these men. And it's interesting that his first response, it begin, if you look at this passage of scripture in Luke, the 17th chapter, it says, when Jesus saw them, he said, "Oh, you poor guys, what a pity. You're Samaritans, and you have leprosy, and God has judged you." Is that what Jesus said? No. It's beautiful what he says. He says, "Go and show yourselves to the priests in the temple in Jerusalem." Now, Jesus didn't have to add that element to the process of healing these lepers. He knew that he was able to heal them. He had the power, obviously the healing power of God in him. And he knew that they would be healed. But he also wanted them to go to the temple and to be pure, declared pure, so they could go back to their homes, so they could return to their everyday lives, so that they would be able to go back and be with their families. And he knew that that was the most important thing in their minds and in their hearts at that time. They wanted to be healed so they could be normal and go back to their everyday lives. They hated being quarantined. In fact, we are told that the laws of Israel declared that anyone who had leprosy was to be quarantined, was to be cast out of society. They would spend they had to stand 100 paces away from anybody. They had to call out, "Unclean, unclean." And so often they would go and live in caves in the hillsides, and they were cast outcasts. Not only were they outcasts because of the disease of leprosy and its the fact that it was contagious, but they were outcast because they were told by the religious leaders that they had leprosy because of a sin in their life, or even maybe a sin in one of their relatives or family members or forefathers. And so they were doubly cursed. They were not only physically sick and ill and dying and wasting away, but they were spiritually cast out. They were rejected and not loved by society, and even were being punished by God. And so into this experience, into this story, comes Jesus, and he says to them, go back to the temple, and it says, as they went, they were making their way. I'm sure they weren't walking. They were probably running. They were running ahead up to Jerusalem, up that hill to Jerusalem, to be declared clean and healed by the priests. It says they noticed they were cleansed. And verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back and praised God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And then it adds, and he was a Samaritan. I find here a beautiful story. I always like stories that have good endings. I don't know about you. And this one in particular has a beautiful ending. Can you imagine that gentleman years before? We don't know how many years he was declared an outcast, a leper. But years before, as he said goodbye to his family, knowing that he was contagious, he was not able to hug them. He was not able to touch them. He was not able to give them a kiss goodbye. He had to leave. He had to say goodbye from a distance. And I can imagine the tears that must have been shed on that day when he was declared unclean, when he was sent away to live with other lepers, and the heavy heart that he must have had, knowing that it was something that he had done, it was a sin that he had committed that was causing it, that was bringing this terrible thing upon him and upon his family. It must have been more than he could bear. And now suddenly, as he met Jesus, he realized that it wasn't because of a sin that this leprosy was brought upon him. It wasn't because of something that had happened maybe in his family's life or his relative's life. He was not being cursed or he was not being punished, but in fact, he had met the source of healing, and that was Jesus Christ. Suddenly he realized that Jesus, the power of Jesus, was healing him and making him whole. And instead of going up with the rest of the group, instead of following the rest of the nine men up to Jerusalem to be declared healed by the priests of the temple, he turned and ran back. He ran back to Jesus. He ran back because he knew that the healing that he had received was not just a physical healing, that indeed he was healed through and through, right to his very soul. He had met Jesus, the source of eternal life, that he had met the healer of the soul and of the heart. And so he goes back and he falls, it says here in the scriptures, he falls at the feet of Jesus, and he literally is worshiping Jesus. He is not only thanking Jesus for healing him physically, but he senses here now that this man is a man of God, that this is indeed, which he probably would realize, was the Messiah, the promised Messiah. Jesus turns to this man and he says, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? You know, it's interesting that when we come before Jesus and we ask forgiveness for sin, when we believe that he is the Messiah, the promised Messiah, that he is Jesus, the Son of God, the one who can cleanse us from sin, the one who can give us eternal life. We believe that. We believe it from the depths of our hearts. And yet so often we fail to to thank him and to have the attitude of gratitude. So often, because in our haste and our hurry of life to move forward, to move ahead in our lives, to get back to normal, we stop and we forget. We forget to stop and be thankful, to be grateful for the fact that Jesus came to this earth to bring us healing, to bring us wholeness, to bring us back into that close saving relationship with God. And so, only one came back and experienced not only the healing of the body, but the healing of the soul. I was struck by this story because it has two very important elements in our relationship with God. It's one thing to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's one thing to believe that he is the Savior of our souls, that he gives us eternal life, that he offers us his righteousness. That's another thing, to come back again and again and again and thank him and be grateful for his mercy, his love, his forgiveness, and his eternal life offered to us through his death and his resurrection. It was a wonderful thing to find out later in my childhood. My father became involved in working with a group of a colony of lepers that lived on an island off the coast of Korea. And I was so totally devastated by what I saw that day in the marketplace that when I heard that my father and his evangelistic team had gone to these people, these poor people that were literally rotting and dying, their limbs falling off and their noses falling off and the grotesque featurely distortions that this disease brings, it was wonderful to know that my father was involved in bringing help, medical help to these people. They were able to put the leprosy in remission, and they were able to bring the most important healing that they needed, and that was salvation through Jesus Christ. They were able to hear the story that Jesus loved them, that they were not being punished for something they had done, that their gods were wrong in accusing them of doing something. They were good. They were glad to hear the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, that even though their bodies may be scarred, even though their bodies may be distorted by this terrible disease, that they would have complete and total both physical and spiritual healing when Jesus comes again to take us all to heaven. It's become quite obvious in the last few months to all of us that we all need, we need healing. It's been obvious, I think, to the entire world that science, modern medicine, all of these things that we have come to depend upon do not always have the answers. That sometimes the destructive nature of sin in this world brings so much pain, so much suffering, and yes, even death of tens of thousands of people around the world. And like those 10 men there in Samaria who called out, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on us," we too, as human beings living in 2020, need to recognize that we must have that same healing, the healing not just of the physical, but the healing of the spiritual, that we need to call out to Jesus, "Lord, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our trespasses and lead us into salvation." One of the other things that I noted during this time of of isolation, this time of concern, yes, even time of fear. That often disease like this and fear of disease brings out the worst and the best in human nature. It was interesting this week, I picked up on the news that President Trump was thanking some of the people who were, I guess we'd call them heroes. There were so many of them, you would not be able to help to thank all of them, but he was showing giving them some honor and showing some respect and thanking them for their acts of heroism during this time, handing out masks, making masks, doing all kinds of acts of kindness and mercy. So it's interesting that during this time, we are locked away in our homes, that we are not able to carry on our lives as usual, that our minds and our hearts are turned towards acts of kindness, acts of mercy. And so it's easy for us to during times of whether it's a disease or warfare, it's easy for us to look at the fact that people are ill or people are stricken by disease. It's easy for us to fixate on the disease and forget the one who is diseased, the person that has a heart and a soul and a need for healing. It's easy for us to become so fearful and so panicked and to run away from those who need to hear the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so as I look at this passage of scripture, the story of the 10 lepers, I'm reminded that there is a human response, but there is also a response that comes from a heart that is connected and united with the love of God. And Jesus' response was to show love for those 10 men, regardless of their racial identity, regardless of their spiritual condition. It was unconditional love of God that he showed towards those men. He showed them mercy and he showed compassion in his response. I couldn't help but reflect upon what would Jesus' response be to COVID-19 or what we call the coronavirus. And immediately I realized that Jesus was responding in the midst of this epidemic, in the midst of the coronavirus. By opening my eyes and opening my ears, I realized that all around me were men and women who were willing to step into the unclean zone, men and women who were willing to touch, to help those who had this terrible disease that was taking lives. We live in a world that is diseased and dying to know Jesus can save them. And it is hands and it is the feet, it is the eyes, the mouth, and the ears of individuals, the first responders, the nurses, the doctors, the policemen, the firemen, the paramedics, all of these people who are willing to step into the danger zone, willing to care for those that society shuns and walks away from in horror. These men and women are the hands and the feet and the heart of Jesus. I realized that I need not look any further, that indeed the love of God walks the face of this earth through the lives of loving, merciful men and women who care about the individual more than they fear the disease. the facts are, and the statistics sadly show, that there were people, doctors, nurses, first responders, loved ones, friends, who, yes, stepped into the danger zone, that stepped in to the area that others would not step in, and they made the ultimate sacrifice, and that was they gave their lives. They died as a result of responding out of love and compassion and mercy. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. He stepped into a world that was diseased beyond repair, diseased beyond the wisdom and knowledge of humanity to fix itself, diseased beyond what doctors could take care of, or psychologists or religious individuals could take care of, that it needed an antivirus, an anti-sin virus, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came to heal us of that terrible thing called sin and death. He came to heal us so that we might be whole and complete in him. In Romans, the fifth chapter, if you want to turn with me to Romans, the fifth chapter, there are so many wonderful promises that are found in God's word. And thank you, Lexi, for sharing a few of those with us. But here we have one more in Romans, the fifth chapter. And I need to turn. There we go. Beginning with Romans 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith, into this grace in which we now stand. You and I stand, praise God, we stand by grace, God's grace, our faith in God's grace. Just as those men who walked that dusty path to Jerusalem and found Jesus and discovered Jesus, they stood in a healed condition from that point on. He healed them by his grace and his love for them. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love. God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, and here's the part that I think is such beautiful message. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Just as at the right time, Jesus healed those 10 men. They were powerless to heal themselves. Christ healed them. And he healed both the godly and the ungodly. He healed them regardless of their spiritual condition. He healed them because that is God's way, his merciful way, his gracious way of showing his love for humanity and reaching out to humanity. It is by faith, Paul tells us over and over again, it is by faith that we are saved. It is a gift of God. And so I say to us, who all of us have come short of, well, let's just face it. We're all being totally honest with each other. We would face the fact that all of us are sinful, in need of healing, that we all have this cancer or this leprosy or whatever you want to call it, called sin, the sinful nature. And it is only by calling out, crying out to Jesus, to give us forgiveness and mercy and compassion, to give us healing, the healing of the heart, the healing of the soul. Like that one leper, let us not forget to show him our thanksgiving and our gratitude for his healing power in our lives. In Romans chapter 10, Paul continues in chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. And here it is. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. To believe is the first step to healing. To believe is not the only step, though. We must step further, and by faith, as Paul says here, and proclaim with our lips, with our mouth, to proclaim Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's sad. We don't know the rest of this story. I wish we did have the rest of the story regarding those 10 lepers. But Christian tradition points out that one of the lepers, the one that came back and thanked Jesus later, well, he became a disciple and a follower of Jesus and went on to testify to the changing power and the healing power of Jesus Christ, not only to physically heal him, but to spiritually heal him. I guess the question that I would leave us with during this time of fear, a time of concern, a time of being quarantined and not knowing what tomorrow might bring, I think that for us as followers of Jesus Christ, those of us who have the peace of Jesus in our hearts, who know that we serve a living Savior, the response then, or the question would be, do we live with an attitude of gratitude? A song that we used to sing when I was a kid, and I don't know if all of you know it, but I'll try to remember all the words. I was trying to remember it all this morning. My wife helped me out a little bit. It goes something like this. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so abundant and free. In a time that we live in today, let us be like that one Samaritan leper. Let us go back to the feet of Jesus as often as we need. Paul says, I have to die daily. Let's go back to Jesus and thank him for ultimately saving our souls and healing us so that we might spend eternity with him in the kingdom of heaven. Father, we thank you so much that we have hope in our lives, hope that comes through Jesus Christ, hope that comes through salvation, hope that comes through your grace. And we pray that as we daily connect with you, as we are daily healed, as we recognize each day what your healing means to us, may we in turn share that with the world around us, the world that needs healing in so many different ways. May we be just a part of what the world needs, and that is someone who is willing to share the good news of healing in Jesus Christ. We think of those in our congregation. We know that there are some who are suffering right now from physical conditions. We pray, Father, for the healing of your Holy Spirit in their lives. We pray that you will draw close, that you will wrap your arms of love around them, and that you will whisper in their ears words of comfort, words of hope, and bring healing, I pray, Father. We ask this in your name. Amen.